بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك ولا تبغ الفساد في الأرض إن الله لا يحب المفسدين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التاجر الصدوق الأمين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Honorable ulama, respected huffaz, elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin with the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, that Allah who is mine and your soul's sustainer, cherisher and nourisher. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our leader, our Nabi, Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, at the most basic level, trade and business involves the exchange of goods and services. But there is much more to business than moving goods in one direction and money in the other direction. The product, the packaging, the delivery system, and the advertising messages that accompany it, all of them carry statements of what is desirable, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is not. Now through this much larger exchange, at both emotional and intellectual levels, business can become a powerful agent or a powerful tool for cultural change. And this role is increased manifold in the age of media and professional marketing campaigns that we find today. You and I know that in simpler times, in times of the past, the role of the seller was generally to satisfy the needs that came about because of genuine needs. The seller knew that perhaps my customers needed such and such item. Out of genuine need, he provided that item for his customers. But friends, in the age of gluttony that we are witnessing today, the role of the marketer is to create demand first and then satisfy that demand. And this is done in only one way that it can be done. By replacing needs which are limited by wants and desires which are unlimited. Friends, marketers in today's times, they sell fantasies, they sell status, and they sell symbols. And this appeals to our basest desires. In the world's most developed countries, advertising messages comes to the consumers from every direction. every part of the day and every part of the night. And the persistent message of these advertisers and marketers is buy, buy, and buy. Consume, consume, and consume. Indulge your desires. Now friends, this is consumerism, which is a morbid outcome of materialism under capitalism. It spread far and wide throughout the globe, and that is what we call today globalization. Now what is consumerism's creed? Consumerism's creed and principle is we live to consume. We live to eat. So its message out there is that for every problem in the world, it has one solution only. Buy something. What it tells you? Buy something. Now its victims, unfortunately the victims of consumerism, what they do is, they fill the emptiness of their lives with the newest gadgets on the market, with the newest toys on the market, the newest cell phone, or the latest model car, or the latest designer shoe or clothes, whatever it may be. So consumerism tells you that to fill the emptiness of your life, buy something. Buy the latest gadgets on the market and try to congratulate yourself that wah wah, hi hi, I'm living in an era of progress and advancement. But as they accumulate more and more of these gadgets and toys of this world, the meaninglessness of all this increases more, and the hollowness deepens. Friends, further behind the glitter of the slick handiwork of the marketer, one can only see the ugly face of exploitation. Consider the recruitment of female charm for selling everything from automobiles to toothpaste to toothpicks to zoo admissions. Never in the history of humankind has women been demeaned and exploited on such a massive scale. Drive the freeways and the highways. Drive the freeways and the highways. And what do you see on the billboards? Friends, what do you see on the billboards? Those who can make money out of it have filled every inch of space available with the picture of a woman in varying degrees of undress. They have filled every inch of space available with the picture of a woman in varying degrees of undress. Unfortunately, the environment has become so saturated with the filth that like a person who lives in a sewer, he is unable to feel the stink. That's why ulama mention, and they write in the books of hadith, that a'malun kathir, that a'mal are many, alhamdulillah. Brothers flying 24/7 for Umrah, alhamdulillah, going Hajj, coming back, doing this, doing that. Walakin, but they mention sin, gunah ko gunah samajna bahut mushkil hai. The good is plenty, alhamdulillah. Allahumma zid fazid. Allah increase. But to take a sin as a sin has become very difficult. Why? Because environment has become so saturated with it. Nevertheless, friends, that was my introduction. Now I need your undivided attention. What is saddening, perhaps even more than what I have mentioned, is the failure of Muslim societies in putting up a challenge to this onslaught. An equal or probable greater responsibility lies with our business leaders. Why couldn't our business leaders rethink the purpose of advertising? The purpose of marketing, packaging and selling? They could have used their considerable muscle, and alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed our business people in this dunya, in this country especially. And by the way, Allah increase in them, and Allah give them barakah in their risk and their sustenance. But why couldn't they rethink? Why couldn't they take their considerable muscle to launch a counter attack against the pop culture? Why? They could have demonstrated the high ethical and the moral campaigns and the moral teachings of Islam through distinguished principles to a world that badly needs them. Friends, instead they have been following blindly the tricks and the techniques of business enterprises from the so-called developed world. And the failure that I have come to understand is because of two reasons. The failure here is at two levels. One is the failure to understand the role of business in today's society. That is why, unfortunately, even big businesses that are making big bucks, they don't see or they don't have the vision of promoting their language, their culture and their moral values. They are just there to make money, and money they are making big time. But have they ever thought that Allah has given me such a platform whereby I can utilize my business to teach to the world Islamic principles, morals and values? Friends, the idea that we need to incorporate Islamic teachings and moral values in everything, from product conception and design to marketing, communications and business policies and practices, unfortunately, has not arrived in the minds of our Muslim businesses. That's the first. The second is there is a failure to understand the responsibilities of a business under Islam. There are several ahadith that tell us the merits and the rewards of a righteous businessman. Among the one ahadith that I've made mention is At-Tajiru Saduqul Amin, that the honest and the veracious businessman, the honest and the truthful businessman will be in the year after with the prophets, with the truthfuls and the martyrs. According to another hadith, the prophet was asked, what is the best means of living? He replied, righteous trade. He replied, righteous trade. Friends, the company of the prophets and the martyrs is perhaps the highest rank one can ever imagine. May Allah make us from amongst those. Imagine being in the company of the prophets and the martyrs who sacrificed their life, which is the most dearest commodity to anybody, for the sake of Islam. So the question is, how can it be that one attains such an exalted status, such a high status in the year after, whilst he is spending his time making ducks, making mullahs, and in the year after he is in the company of the prophets and the martyrs? Friends, because by bringing truth, by bringing Allah consciousness to one's business, by promoting Islam via the channels of your business, you are bringing righteousness to your life. And righteous trade is perhaps a comprehensive expression that encompasses piety in all aspects of running one's business. And it was the Muslim traders who had imbibed the ideals of business Islamic principles who spread Islam to the four corners of the world. Muslims did not establish missions to convert people. Nay, friends, never did Muslims establish missionaries and establish organizations to convert people. That was never the idea of Islam. But as local people came in touch with Muslim traders, and the latter's piety, honesty and truthfulness, business dealings won them over. And this happened in land after land in Asia and Africa. Thus emerged a new dawn that ended corruption and exploitation and brought about an era of peace and prosperity. Today, what do you hear? Guy doesn't want to do business with a Muslim. He rather give the business to a non-Muslim. Never. Marana, he's did me down enough times. I refused. Check the emails, Muslims at work. See what's happening in society. It's shocking that principles and ethics and morals that were our teachings have been taken by other communities and societies, and today we are found wanting in those very teachings. Nevertheless, friends, to the people possessing wealth, like Qarun, what does Allah mention to such people in the Quran? Allah says, وَبَتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَ. Allah says, seek the wealth that Allah has bestowed on you. Not a problem. Seek the wealth that Allah has bestowed on you. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But do not forget your portion in this world, which Allah has bestowed on you, that is the home of the year after. Do not forget that. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, be good to Allah as Allah has been good to you. Just Allah has been good to you, Allah has been kind to you. Be good to Allah. Be good to Allah. Allah has been kind to us, friends. Really, whilst making money, just think about this. How good has Allah been to me? How kind has Allah been to me? But how much of the commands of Allah have I transgressed whilst Allah was good to me? At that time, did I go onto the rooftop and praise Allah? But when difficulties knocked on my door, then I came to the masjid to praise and ask Allah. Nevertheless, friends, one's wealth and wealth-making efforts should be geared towards the year after, and one must never use this opportunity to spread mischief on this world. There is a great responsibility, but together with this responsibility, there is a tremendous opportunity for Muslim businesses here. By broadening their vision, businesses can become a formidable force, challenging the spread of consumerism, materialism, and the pop culture. Through carefully thought out policies and practices, They can end the exploitation of women. They can end the exploitation of consumers. And they can end the exploitation of the world. This is what the world needs, friends. And this is what business people and myself need ourselves. Righteous trade, righteous business practices, morals and ethics is the only trade in which we can never lose. It's the only trade in which we can never lose. And by imbibing and subjecting our businesses through Islamic values, principles, ethics, morals and practices, there will be only profits and no loss. There will be only profits and no loss. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide me firstly and guide all of us and protect us from bartering our year after for the meager profits of this world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Respected elders and brothers, this is a humble and a kind appeal once again. We on numerous occasions have made this appeal from this pulpit to our brothers with regard to the parking on Fridays. Unfortunately, this call has gone unheard, and week after week what's happening is the brothers are double parking, especially on the bottom of the Ingalele Road, that is the intersection of Ingalele, Komati and Mariko, to such an extent, friends, that not one car is allowed to pass. Now being late for Salah is not an excuse for inconveniencing people. You need to come early for Salah. Simple as that. Especially on the day of Yawmul Jum'ah, a day that is better than the day of the two Eids. A day that was offered to the Christians and the Jews, but Allah refused them, Allah gave it to me and to you. A day on which Adam alayhi salam was born. A day on which Qiyamah will take place. Friends, what a Mubarak and a blessed day Allah has favored us with. That person who comes early to the masjid receives the reward of sacrificing a camel in the path of Allah. What an ideal opportunity. When there is a show, we ensure that we get front seats, front row. We don't want to miss the opportunity. Here's a golden opportunity to get first row seats. Take the opportunity, friends. And those who are responsible, please, we humbly beg you that ensure that you are parked properly. The past 2 weeks, the bus could not even enter and exert on the Ingalele Road. And you know what is more saddening, friends? Time and time again, I pass this place where they have this canoe club here down the road by us. And if you see how those non-Muslims park, Allah, you envy them. Genuinely, you envy them. They will not leave an occasion or a space whereby a person can complain about their parking. They will ensure that they are parked strictly and systematically as they are told to park. Not blocking a person in any way whatsoever. Now me and you have been taught this in our deen. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. A true Muslim is that Muslim who does not cause harm to his brother either by his mouth, by his hand or by his actions. Friends, teachings that are ours, these people are practicing. We are found wanting in those teachings. So please again, humble request is, let us ensure that we do not inconvenience anybody by way of our action or whatever it may be. Jazakumullah.